In the name of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. Some of you were with us 3 days ago on Maundy Thursday and recall that Sarah briefly mentioned one of the earliest Christian pilgrims who traveled from Spain to the Holy Land. At the end of the 4th century, she arrived in Jerusalem, where she kept extensive notes, notes about what she saw on her trip, and recorded it all in a diary that she brought back home to her friends and community. We're not really sure of her name. Some say it was Aretha, others Egeria, and still others Sylvia. But it is an amazing document she left for us, with a description of Holy Week and its liturgies as they were lived out in Jerusalem 1700 years ago. At that time, the church was believed to possess a piece of the cross, which Christ was crucified on. And it was the tradition on Good Friday that this relic should be displayed and venerated. A part of this Jerusalem ritual is actually retained in our own Good Friday liturgy when we reverence the cross. Yet in Egeria's account of Good Friday, the ceremony had a curious note. When it came to venerate the relic of the cross, she writes, the bishop sat behind the large crossbeam, firmly holding it in both hands, and two deacons were positioned at either end of the beam, controlling the flow as the faithful came forward to kiss the cross in memory of Jesus' sufferings. Egeria says that she was subsequently told that deacons were protecting the cross, protecting it because of something that happened a few years before. A new job for you, Brunel. It seems that a pious pilgrim, anxious for a relic to take home, took a bite out of the cross instead of kissing it. Now, I mention this ancient story because I think of that ancient tourist who clearly was blessed with a strong set of snappers. And that ancient tourist, in effect, represents an aspect of the way that some people approach religion in our day as well. For you see, the Christian faith has become little more than a tourist attraction, a sideshow event that provides us with an occasional diversion, a moment of amusement. And it's little wonder that this has happened. After all, we live in a world that spends more time watching, more time passively observing than actively participating. We seem to be in a culture in search of entertainment. We have been captured by an approach to life. Amuse us, we cry out. Give us entertainment or give us death. We spend our evenings in front of a television set, watching parodies, imitations of life, while our own lives pass us by. Too often we find ourselves more familiar with the intimate pain and struggles of NCIS characters and those on Grey's Anatomy than we are with the pain and struggles of our own friends and families. The evening news, our streaming web feeds, confront us with a parade of death, war, destruction. And yet we find ourselves unmoved, forgetting that the blood is real blood, the tears are real tears, the death, real death. Entertainment can insulate us from living and grieving and celebrating with our neighbors, with our human family around this ever-shrinking globe. Likewise, our society's fondness for entertainment can flow into our approach to faith as well. Attending worship can become more like a Disney World visit. Our liturgy, an amusement, a show for us to watch. In such a scenario, we in fact become tourists, and the church becomes little more than a sacred relic, an object of veneration to be occasionally taken down off the shelves, wiped dust-free, and watched. In essence, we come for a bite of the cross, or perhaps today, a bite of the empty grave. In such a climate, we visit faith like we visit a circus, looking, laughing at the animals, smiling at the roaring god lion, while we think we have managed to cage and tame God, to keep God distant from the stuff of our daily lives. So I believe the image of Egeria's ancient tourist can pose a good question for us in the society we live in on this Easter morn. That is, what is it we are doing here today? Why have we come? What is it we seek? Do we come here like an ancient pilgrim looking for some kind of souvenir that we can take home for us before brunch? Or have we come for something more? In the words of this morning's gospel, do we come here to seek the living among the dead? Basil Pennington, a Roman Catholic Cistercian monk and writer, once described an encounter that he had with a Zen Buddhist spiritual leader. On the fifth night of the retreat, Pennington writes, "I had the most moving experience. I went to see the Rashi. He sat there before me, very much like a Buddha. He smiled from ear to ear as he rocked gleefully back and forth and back and forth. He said, 'I like Christianity. I like Christianity very, very much. But I would not like Christianity without the resurrection.'" And he paused and he added, "Show me your resurrection. I want to see your resurrection." Pennington goes on to say, in his simplicity and clarity, the master had gone straight to the heart of things. With his directness, he was saying what everyone else implicitly says of us Christians. You are Christian. You are risen with Christ. Show me, and I'll believe. Show me your resurrection. I want to see your resurrection. This encounter goes straight to the heart of our faith and to the very important understanding of who the risen Christ is. For too often we forget that when the Apostle Paul tells the early Christian churches that they are the body of Christ, he is telling us that we are risen with Christ. We are the resurrected body. We are a resurrection people. A long time ago, Paul wrote that we carry in our body, in the church's life, the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. What that strange sentence is saying is that the Jesus of our faith is the Jesus who died on the cross, rose from the grave, and became a people. We Christians are not simply a people who believe or who remember what a great prophet taught. We are the living body of that prophet. We're the body of Christ. Show me your resurrection and I will believe. That's a challenge to move from being tourists to being the body of Christ in the world. For Jesus was not risen on the pages of a book, no matter how good that book may be. Jesus is risen in a living, breathing, people of flesh and blood, a people that is us. His resurrection body is not some ethereal, airy, ghostly presence that has no shape or substance. No, his resurrection body is our body. And if the resurrection is not visible today, right here, right now, in this place, in our body, then indeed we will become a relic to visit, where modern pilgrimage can come to take a souvenir home. Show me your resurrection, and I will believe. Today we once again stand at the entrance of the empty tomb. Today, in the absence of the body, we become a body for the world to see. Today we will renew our faith in commitments of creed and sacrament, and we will live the resurrection life, a life lived within community, a life lived in service of God, a life lived in faith, in love, in compassion, in transformed lives that transform the world. Today, the entertainment is ended, my friends, and tourists are going to leave empty-handed. For we have been called to be a resurrection people and to proclaim to the world through our lives every day that Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.